WPHM. You're listening to the WPHM Morning Show. And for Paul Miller, here's Caleb Gordon.
Yeah, it's a little moody blues there to start your morning off with. Caleb Gordon in for Paul on this Friday before the Labor Day holiday weekend. A lot of the people maybe heading up north or spending some time at the beach trying to get that last little bit of summer in before school starts next week. Now, one of the big events is that Mackinac Bridge Walk. People might be going to St. Ignace or Mackinac City and participating in that bridge walk. And if you missed the interview, we did speak to Michelle Grinnell. She's with Pure Michigan and shared some details about that bridge walk. I'll have that posted to the podcast site on WPHM.net in just a little bit here. And she was talking about that event. But if you want to walk across a bridge, you don't have to go all the way to the Straits. You can do it right here in our own backyard. It's the Trestle Trek, and it's going to be on the Wadhams to Avoca Trail over that beautiful railroad trestle that goes over the Mill Creek. And on the line with us right now is Dennis Delore. He's with St. Clair County Parks and Rec. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Caleb. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying my time filling in for Paul this morning because we get to talk about some of my favorite things. And one of those things, earlier this morning, we talked politics, something that I enjoy discussing. We talked about trains with TJ Gaffney last hour. We also talked to Jim Weekly. We talked about boats. And now we get to talk to you, Dennis, about the St. Clair County Park System. And to tie in the whole thing, train trestle, trestle track. Kind of have a theme going on here. So give us the details if someone wants to participate in that.
Actually, that's a good transition because you've talked about a lot of different recreational hobbies and interests, and this weekend is a great weekend for those type of activities. We have our trail walk, which is going to take place on Monday, on Labor Day, at 9 o'clock on the Wadhams to Avoca Trail. And this program, this walk has been going on for 11 years now. This is our 11th year. I've had the good fortune to be able to be on every one of them. And it's a great opportunity for people to get out and recreate and also, you know, see a part of the county that maybe they haven't seen before. Because every time someone sees the trestle, they're like, wow, I can't believe that's right here in St. Clair County. So when we developed this walk, it was to mimic the big bridge walk up in Mackinac, and that bridge walk is so popular. It's a 5-mile walk over the Mackinac Bridge, and gets thousands of visitors for that event. And so the state of Michigan thought it would be a good idea for local communities to do their own walks. And what worked for us is that we have a very unique bridge that we could do a bridge walk ourselves. And that bridge, the Wadhams to Avoca Trail trestle, is 640 feet long and 60 feet over the Mill Creek. So it offers breathtaking views of the Mill Creek and the surrounding area, and is the reward for the walk. You know, you walk 2.5 miles down to the trestle, cross over the trestle and go a little further and then turn around and come back. So it's a down and back kind of walk, but the reward is spending time on the trestle, and you actually get to go over it twice.
That is very cool. What a unique bridge. That structure is very historic, played a very important role in the railroading days here in St. Clair County. And now it gets to be enjoyed by everyone by being a part of your rather large network of trails across the county.
Yes, we have the one thing we are fortunate in St. Clair County is that we have a great network of trails. We have the Wadhams to Avoca Trail, of course, which is 12.5 miles long. It's a linear trail, so there's a nice flat surface for people to enjoy multiple recreational activities. So they can walk in the wintertime, they can cross-country ski, they can also, the equestrian users love the trail because a large portion of it is available to them. So it's a multi-use trail. that is, you know, highly used. So it gets a lot of use, and people come out and on the weekends, and the parking lots are full. We have trailhead parking and restrooms along it, so it makes it more appealing for users. We also have the Bridge to Bay Trail, which is more of a cooperative project with 13 local units of government that basically run from the northern part of the county all the way to the southern tip. So that's a trail and concept of over 55 or 54 miles. So there's a lot of opportunity there, and we're working to with those communities to connect the dots and make the trail a safe opportunity and alternative for other areas to walk. And so, you know, our trail system is in growing every day. We, you know, we've expanded through the Atchison Ventures area there, and the Blue Water River Walk, which is a very popular pathway now. So there's a lot of options for people in St. Clair County to get out and use the trail system.
Yeah, and Lori Eschenberg was telling us maybe a month or so ago about the mapping. You're going to be doing photos of all of these different water trails and land trails, and they're going to be photographed much like a Google Street View.
Yes, SEMCOG was, I actually got to work with SEMCOG a couple of weeks ago while they were on the trail actually doing some of that work with a really high-tech camera system and a bicycle that moves slowly along the trail to basically what it's going to do is give users a bird's eye view of exactly what they would see on the trail so they know what to expect. And it's great for people that are coming from outside the area that aren't maybe familiar with our trail system, and they want to see what is out there, what's along the trail, you know, the conditions of the trail, those sort of things. So it's a great project, and people now really have great opportunities at their fingertips to see where they want to recreate and what opportunities are here in St. Clair County. And it's great for our county because it does draw a lot of people from outside the area, and of course our residents, it gives them more options of things to do in their free time.
Moving away from the trail system here, let's talk about another property that the county is operating, and that's the Fort Gratiot Light Station. And tell us about some of the improvements that are being made there.
We have a lot going on here at the light station. You know, this is a site that is pretty unique for our county because it is the oldest lighthouse in the state of Michigan, so that's our claim to fame here. And we have six historic buildings on site that we are working to, you know, slowly restore. It's a long process. The actual restoration plan here is a 25-year plan. So, and right now we're about 7 to 8 years into it, and we have a great partnership with the Port Huron Museum, who provides our programming and tours. We have another great program or partnership, excuse me, with the Friends of the Fort Gratiot Light. This is a group that has donated hours of their personal time and finances to, you know, help restore the site. So they're out there raising funds. Our very popular event, Sandfest, which is sponsored by the Friends of the Fort Gratiot Light, they put that on, and all the proceeds from that go back into the site for restoration. So, you know, the county maintains the site. They are the property, you know, owners, the taxpayers are the owners. And we work to maintain that, you know, the park system. But the restoration is up to donations and money that we try to get for financing those projects. And without those two groups, the Port Huron Museum and the Friends of Fort Gratiot Light, we would be nowhere near where we are today because they have put forth a great effort to make this site special. And so this year, the Friends have put about $40,000, over $40,000 into the site for preservation and restoration projects, which included two historic porches that were replicated that had been removed in the 1960s. So those got done. We've had some windows added. We've got over 150 windows here on site. So for this small site, that's a pretty large number. And windows are not cheap in the restoration process. So we're literally doing it section at a time. Right now in the duplex, we've done the almost the entire lower level now on the south end. And so that process allows us to get into the interior of the building and do restoration on the inside. So in the last 2 years, we've restored the kitchen, the dining room, and we're working on the parlor and the living area right now on the first floor. And once the living area and the parlor are done, then the whole south side lower level of the duplex, the Keeper's Duplex, which was built in the 1870s, will be restored back to its 1930s appearance.
What a cool piece of history that is. And that was the former Coast Guard station, correct?
Correct, yep.
Yep.
The history here is just, it's so deep and, you know, so storied. It goes back to, you know, the 1820s. And, you know, had a lot of changes at very unique times, like during the Civil War, the tower was extended, which is, you know, pretty amazing if you think about it. There's a war raging, and the federal government finds that it's important to maintain the lights and know that shipping is a crucial part of the war effort. So, you know, making sure that navigation aids, the navigation are taken care of, and that's going on during the Civil War. You know, it went through a lot of changes in the 1930s. So when we get to the 30s, that's why the time period that we are restoring the site to is the 30s, because most of the buildings that are here were here at that time.
Hmm.
So, you know, we work with the State Historic Preservation Office and the National Park Service, and we have a very lengthy and complex document that is known as our historic structure report that actually we use for guidance for preservation and restoration of a site. So being that this was an active Coast Guard station, you know, from the time of the Coast Guard's inception, basically, to just a decade ago, it's, you know, it's something that there's a lot of history there. So you know, our goal is to restore that history and give people an idea of what it was like to be in the Lighthouse Service, the U.S. Coast Guard, and so all these buildings have a different story to tell.
Anyone who knows me knows I'm a big fan of historic preservation. I love history. I love going to historic sites, and it's very refreshing to see a government like St. Clair County stepping in and doing this historic preservation. It's something that doesn't happen all the time, and some governments are maybe quick to knock down something, a structure that might not be of use, and I'm very glad the county has stepped in and taken over that property and restoring it, like you said, back to its 1930s glory there. It's just, we're so fortunate to have you, Dennis, and the county park system just realizing what a value and asset this truly is to our community.
Well, thank you, Caleb. This is a project that I think that a lot of people in the county are behind because it is an iconic symbol of St. Clair County. Again, like I said, it's you know, the oldest lighthouse in Michigan, so there's a lot of pride in St. Clair County and the fact that we are home to that. And I think from the government standpoint of St. Clair County is that doing this in a responsible manner, again, like I said, this is a 25-year plan. You know, the Parks Department is a millage-based department, so being responsible with the funds that taxpayers are providing, you know, to the county for recreation is very important. This is a park. It's a historic park, but it is on Lake Huron and you know, offers spectacular views of the lake and also has a great history and heritage. So it goes hand in hand, but having groups like the Friends of the Fort Gratiot Light and the Fort Huron Museum being partners with us in this project, you know, make all the difference. And that's why we're able to do this, is because groups like those help us create awareness, raise funds, make our community appealing for visitors from outside the area and people that live here to take pride in it and bring guests that when they come to town, they want to show them the light station. So it's all part of that, making St. Clair County a better place to live and recreate and you know, a place to enjoy.
Yeah.
On the map.
There was a time, and unfortunately this mentality is still believed by some people that old is bad, and I especially look to maybe in the 80s, where a lot of that urban renewal was going on, and even earlier before that, where old was bad, knock down the old, put up the new, and now old is cool.
It is, and it really makes a difference in placemaking. Placemaking is a term that we use a lot in county government, which is about making communities appealing to new residents and keeping residents and young people staying in the area. And part of that placemaking is now that history is trendy. It does offer a unique appeal. The architecture is unique. So, like, if we look at downtown Port Huron and the resurgence that it's gone through with historic buildings, I know that the Harrington is on the verge of completing a sale there to be a unique hotel. The City Flats Hotel, all of those things are historic buildings that add charm to downtown. They have appeal. And, so history definitely plays a part, I think, in our communities for, placemaking and making them an appealing place to live and visit. And it's that trend is coming back around. So urban renewal that went on in the 60s and where you saw a lot of that gone, we're fortunate that a lot of it survived and that people now see the appeal. And it doesn't hurt that there's, tax incentives for people to restore these historic buildings. And, hopefully some of that will continue to improve and new opportunities for that will, come up. So, but I definitely think that, places like the Light Station, and if you go out to Goodells County Park, another one of our sites, there's a lot of history there. Columbus County Park has a rich history.
Yes.
All of our parks, basically, the waterfront, the Blue Water Riverwalk and the wetlands area there, we restored that back to its natural history, appearance down there on the waterfront. So there's a lot of appeal in the history of this area, and, it's got, a lot of reasons to come and visit, not just history, but the water and, where International Crossing, and it's just it's a great place, and it's very exciting to see things changing that way, but, staying the same, if you will, because of what we have.
Well, I appreciate all the information here, Dennis, and if you want to do the trestle walk, Monday morning, head out to Wadamsu Avoca Trail, and what time does that start again?
It starts at 9 o'clock again. That is September 3rd, which is Monday Labor Day, and the walk is 2.5 miles. The parking lot for that is off of Avoca Road, M136, so we start promptly at 9. It's 2.5 miles down, 2.5 miles back. People are usually back in their cars by, 11, 11:30, so it's a great way to get out and get some exercise and enjoy, the last few days of what we call Michigan summer and get ready for the fall.
All right, that's Dennis Delore from St. Clair County Parks and Rec. We do appreciate him joining us. WPHM News Time is 9:30. We're going to hear from ABC coming up next, local news. So stay tuned. Thanks again, Dennis, for joining us.
Thank you, Caleb.